Well, there is a young lady who has probably gone home today and said, well, what a very rude man the vicar is. Because this morning I was driving over to do the service at Charwelton. And I left Badby out onto the road. And it's 50 mile an hour speed limit. I was driving along there. And after a moment or two, a Volkswagen Golf came sort of zooming up behind, you know, as they do, and obviously not doing 50 miles an hour, and sat very close to my rear bumper, obviously wanting to go past. The road's not very good for overtaking. A little stretch just as you're coming over into Charwelton, where there's a bit of a straighter road. But as we came over there, I could see that on my side of the road, on our side of the road, coming straight towards me, was a young woman jogging, not on the side of the road, but actually on the road itself. So I knew that I was going to have to pull over the white line to make sure I didn't hit her. This is the moment at which the Volkswagen Golf decided it was going to overtake me. All this is happening in a fraction of a second. As I look in my mirror, mirror signal manoeuvre, remember we were all taught that. So I look in my mirror, I can see that the Golf is now pulling out to overtake me with that. So I indicate and I pull out because I have to, because there's a woman in the road in front of me. And as I'm doing that, to indicate to the car that kind of back off, I sound my horn. It's probably the first time I've ever beeped at a vehicle behind me. But I thought it was the right thing to do. However, the young woman jogging on the road is in her world of jogging and not really focused on what's going on ahead. All she suddenly sees is the vicar in a car bearing down on her, sounding his horn. So she gesticulates to me in a rather unhappy fashion. So she's probably gone home and said, if she saw the vicar in a clerical collar driving a car, sounding his horn, pulling out, going past her, what a rude man that vicar is. When in actual fact, I was stopping her from being run over. But that's how rumours start, isn't it? And gossip. And we're thinking about gossip and rumours this morning. Last week we were thinking about things that could pull us away from being a benefice together. And we were thinking about envy. Next week we're going to think about anger. Today we're thinking about gossip. And the owner of a large American earth moving equipment, a bit like JCB company, once told this story. He said, we used to have a scraper known as the Model G. And one day somebody asked one of our salesmen what the G stood for. It was really just a random letter assigned to that model. But after a moment's thought, the salesman cleverly said, well, I guess the G stands for gossip. Because like gossip, this machine moves a lot of dirt and it moves it fast. And that's what gossip does, isn't it? I sort of drove out and thought, oh, that woman's going to go home. She's going to tell her husband. He's going to tell a friend. They're going to tell people in the village. You know, that's what gossip does. Moves a lot of dirt, moves it fast. We all know how powerful, how powerfully dangerous gossip is, how it can move that dirt fast. Back in the glory days of, I don't know if you used to watch it, David Tennant's tenancy, if you like, is Doctor Who. You know, there was a storyline where at one point he removed a prime minister from power because he thought the Prime Minister had been acting immorally. There were no drinks parties at number 10 involved in this. But how did the Doctor do it? What incredible weapon or alien technology did he? He didn't. None of those things. He simply started a rumour. Now that's fiction. But we all know that personalities, reputations, ministries and partnerships all can be destroyed by rumours and gossip. And so the Bible reminds us of its dangers. James is a very practical book about how to live as a Christian in a way that's going to glorify God. So it shouldn't surprise us that he addresses the issue of gossip. In our verses this morning, James does that by highlighting what our tongues in our mouths are like. He says, whilst they're a very small part of our body, they can still, like a bit or a bridle in a horse or the rudder of a boat, all of which are relatively small in comparison to the animal or the ship, they can still steer the witness of Christians and the work of God onto the rocks. In James in verse 5 rather, James puts it like this. He says, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts, doesn't it? Makes great boasts. Punches far above its weight. Huge horse is steered by that tiny bit of metal in its mouth. A tiny, in comparison, rudder can turn a supertanker 180 degrees in the ocean. And as James goes on to say, a tiny, tiny spark, just one, can cause a raging forest fire. That tiny tongue in our mouths can turn things away from a focus on Christ and do great harm to the kingdom of God in our villages. And when we gossip, and therefore even unintentionally, lie and spread rumours, the Bible is clear about whom we're serving instead of the Lord. Because a tongue that sparks an all-consuming fire in a family or a community or a fellowship or a benefice is itself set on fire by hell, verse 6. And restless evil full of deadly poison, verse 8. So it's no wonder then when Mark's gospel records Jesus' list of the evil thoughts that come out of our hearts, which defile us, slander it was included there. Because really, gossip is about telling stories and tales and rumours that will slander a person. I know. Clergy can often be the victims of that. Over the 23 years that I've been ordained, I've heard alleged things that I'm supposed to have said or done that just aren't true. Those rumours, usually designed to hurt me because someone doesn't like me, but more than that, they undermine ministry in a parish or a benefice. I was reading a post online just this week from, it's not unique to me by any stretch of the imagination, another vicar who was talking about his most recent PCC meeting and recounting that under any other business, a prominent member of the PCC had raised this. Vicar, there's a rumour going round that you criticise the architecture of one of the churches to a person who doesn't even live in the village. Needless to say, wrote the vicar, who had no recollection of any such conversation, no more discussions of a spiritual nature took place that evening. That wasn't a PCC matter. That rumour was started by someone and then raised in that context by the person on the PCC to embarrass and to undermine the vicar in front of the rest of the PCC. I hope it failed. When the PCC member heard that gossip originally, he should have simply stopped it down its tracks. Or quietly raised it one-to-one with the person concerned, in this case the vicar, not embraced it and spread it further. So what are we to do? Because we're caught in a conflict. Our tongues can and should be used for good. And yet too often we use them for unhelpful or dishonouring evil. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who've been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing, says James in verses 9 to 10. And like James, we should then add, my brothers and sisters, this should not be. If we're followers of Christ, then we are daily striving to be more Christ-like, to glorify God, to love Jesus and to love one another as he loves us, to be firm in our faith, but to be gracious and merciful and forgiving, to be pure in heart. We can't live a life that proclaims that, but then which dishonours God and lives in a way which denies the lordship of Christ by gossiping. We can't have mouths that glorify God on a Sunday and then gossip and rumour monger on a Monday. James draws out the contradiction with stark comparisons, doesn't he, in verses 11 and 12. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. We cannot be both a Christian and a gossip. For a start, people will spot the inconsistency in our words. And then who can blame them for rejecting the Jesus we claim to follow, if that's what it means to be a Christian, you know, or not wanting to be part of a fellowship where people gossip and snipe about one another, where they slander and paint a picture of hypocrisy and failure and godlessness. Our gossip will damage our witness and we will not grow as churches. But also it damages our fellowship. Because such behaviour will also not build up the body of Christ locally or as a benefit. I've got to be honest, I've heard gossip over the time that I've been here in the benefice. Often about the behaviour of one of the other churches, something which they've historically done, which means that they can no longer be trusted. Or an accusation of selfish behaviour now, which disadvantages the fellowship of the person making the accusation. Usually implying, well, if they're not doing that, then why should we? The past is the past, for a start. We should put that behind us. What's happened in the past? There is the story of the churches in the benefice that don't get on. And eventually the archdeacon is called in to a meeting. And he says, look, why can't you just work together? And one person from one of the churches says, well, when the Danes came, they knew and they didn't warn us. Let it go. The past is the past. Put it behind us. Let's move on together in Christ. And as for the outrageous and the selfish behaviour going on now, do you know what? I don't recognise any of that. I'm on every single PCC. And I can say without a doubt that every single one of those rumours that I've heard at any particular time, there haven't been many, but there have been enough, every single one is untrue. One of the devastating ways that Satan will use to stop us growing and to pull us apart as a benefice and to stop everyone graciously submitting to Christ and to one another will be to use our tongues to create a benefice where gossip and slander are rife. But it's difficult, isn't it? Who can tame the tongue? James says, you know, we can tame the wild animals. How can we tame the tongue? We need God's help. And there are two things we need to do. Since 1976, Lake Superior State University in Michigan has been publishing its annual list of words to be banished after overuse, misuse, or for just being really irritating. And this year, the top 10 was selected from 1,250 submissions. And the number one in 2022 goes to, wait, what? That's what they want to get rid of. Get rid of, wait, what? See, first, we need to be Christians who are not eager to hear gossip and slander. When someone tells us something about one of the churches or church members or church wardens or the vicar, you know, and it's a bit juicy, our first reaction should not be a thrilled, wait, what? Ooh, tell me more. Instead, we should ask, are you sure about that? Has the person who told you spoken to Malcolm, or the church warden, or the PCC? Have you spoken to any of those people? Is that really true? Why exactly are you telling me that? Now, obviously, if things are going badly wrong, or it's a safeguarding matter, then it needs to be addressed by approaching the appropriate person. But it does not need to be juicily embellished and shared with all and sundry. And that means that we should ourselves not be gossips. We shouldn't be wanting to hear gossip. We shouldn't be gossiping. When we hear something, we should ask ourselves, is it really helpful if I spread that around? Is that going to build us up as a fellowship or as a benefice? Or is it just going to create problems and division and ill feeling and resentment? Is it going to help or is it going to hinder the work of the gospel in our benefice? Proverbs chapter 16 verse 28 reminds us, a perverse person stirs up conflict and a gossip separates close friends. Is that us? Do we really want to be the perverse person in our fellowship or benefice who stirs up conflict and who separates close friends, be they individuals or be they neighbouring churches in our benefice? Or just churches in our benefice? Instead, we need to listen to and apply God's work from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. We need to apply that to ourselves and to our lives. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Our talk should not be unwholesome, seeking the harm of other individuals or church fellowships. It should not be seeking to harm the unity of the benefice. Instead of gossiping and criticising and undermining, our words to one another should instead be of real benefit to those that hear them. And we should aim to build one another up and to build up our benefice with what we say. How positive and united our benefice would be if that were the case. Gossip is inviting, tantalising, tempting. It attracts us and invites us to pass it on. But that is the work of Satan. It is not the behaviour of a Christian. Within our benefice, gossip will stir up conflict and separate the close friendship of the fellowships. It is the spark that can burn to the ground all of God's work in this place. So let's commit ourselves to not giving gossip a foothold here. Instead of gossiping, let's look for ways to speak of and speak to one another in wholesome terms and to build up our fellowships and our benefice. Let's dedicate our tongues to God's work and to be used for His glory. Because if we do that, then there's no place for gossip in our benefice. Oh, and if you come across a young woman criticising me for being an angry driver, just tell her I saved her life. Amen.